ever feel like that your prayers are not being heard, I'm telling you, keep praying, because he's listening and he's moving. Even though you don't see it in a natural, in the spirit realm, he's moving. That's a promise he made to us believers, that if we prayed, that he would move. God, I thank you for moving in situations, even in my life, things that I've been praying for, that it literally looks like it's getting worse in people's lives. But I know that scripturally, and I know that through the past, that things sometimes have to get worse before they get better. So God, I just pray for everyone in here that's praying and they can't see you working, that they would keep praying and keep believing, God, for a miracle, because you're still a miracle working God. And I thank you for that. God, you didn't quit on us, and you're not going to quit on those that we're praying for and that we're believing for, because you're faithful, Lord. Even when we're not, you are, and you are a miracle worker, God, and you're moving. And so, Lord, I want to come in agreement right now with those that are praying over things, and they're listening to this song, and they're thinking, well, man, I just sure wish he would do it with me. I want to come in agreement with him right now, God, that thing that they're praying for that lines up with your word, God, that you'd do it. It may be for wayward children. It may be for a marriage problem. It may be for brothers, sisters, or family that's strayed away from you. Whatever it is, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would move and make a way to where there is no way, that you would open up the right doors and that you would shut the wrong doors. And God, that your perfect will be done in every person's life that's in here that's praying and believing right now, God, because that's the type of God you are. As long as our prayers line up with your will and we're believing your word and praying your word, then God, you said that you would honor that and that you would move. You're not going to break someone's will. You're not going to make them do anything, but you can send the host of heaven to compel them, the Holy Spirit to compel them and to draw them and convict them. And I thank you for that, Lord. God, I thank you for peace that passes all understanding tonight, and that your will be done in everything that's said. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. And thank you for those that are coming in agreement with us, Lord. And we're going to hear some great praise reports out of this. We sung that song, I'm going to praise you. Never stop praising you. God, you inhabit the praise of your people, but there's been so many times in my life that I've been in so much mess, so much turmoil, so much stuff going on, and I literally had to praise my way through it. And I believe the word tonight for someone in this room tonight is praise your way through it. Tomorrow morning on your way to work, tonight when you get home, you don't have to have a worship team. You don't have to have a pastor there. You turn on your worship music and you praise your way through it. Amen? Whoever that's for, you do it. Maybe for more, you praise your way through it, because he inhabits the praise of his people and he moves when we praise him. God, we praise you tonight. We honor you. Bless your word. May your word accomplish what you want it to accomplish. And we give you praise for everything. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I got a few things I'm going to talk about before, but in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 7 here in a few minutes. But as I was at the prison this morning praying, I was in my office and I was by myself and I had all my study stuff and I began to study and I'm praying, and all of a sudden it came back to me. How many of you remember Culture Shock? I know we got a lot of new people in here, but a lot of you probably remember Culture Shock. It was an 8-week study that we did, and Chip Ingram is the one that did it. But I think it was the very first week he dealt with the fact about there's two different truths. Amen? There's relevant truth, which means if you like it, if it lines up with what you want to believe, if it's easy enough or if you can swallow it, then that's what you believe. And then there's absolute truth, which is this word right here. Whether we like it, whether we can swallow it good, sometimes we got to choke it down. but no matter what, this is absolute truth. And so what I'm talking to you about this week and last week and this week, it deals with thoughts and just intentions of your heart, you know, all kind of things that the devil tries to bring against us. But I feel like sometimes that we talk about things and people just in justice say, yeah, you know, whatever, whatever. This is important. There's a couple things. First of all, you ought to know that I pray about what I'm supposed to preach for our church. Amen. I pray about what I'm supposed to preach. I don't just get up here and do things. I just don't study and pray just to get up here and whatever. But the second thing is you need to hear it and you need to apply it to your life, because some of you are dealing with stuff and it's thoughts, it's imaginations and things that exalts itself against God. You're dealing with it, but the way you're dealing with it is you're sweeping it underneath the rug. Oh, boy. That's not the way you deal with spiritual things. The way you deal with spiritual things is when God brings them to light, you deal with them. Because he's wanting to get you free. And this whole book is about bondage. Christians being in bondage, not the world being in bondage. This whole book is about Christians that are in bondage. And I was just thinking today, if you don't believe that a Christian can be in bondage, then everything that I'm saying, you don't mean anything. And that culture shock, that first week when he did that, when he talked about relevant truth and absolute truth, it changed my whole way of witnessing. It changed my whole way of the way I deal with people. Because if people don't believe that the Word of God is 100% truth, then there's no use throwing the Word of God out there at them, because they ain't going to listen to it. And so I'm telling you tonight that what I am preaching on is 100% truth. And if all your thoughts and everything that you're thinking about and everything that you're talking about don't line up with the Word of God, then, my friend, you're the one that's wrong, not him. Amen? So I want to get that out there, because I hear things and I talk to people and I'm not like, you're not even listening on Wednesday night. Well, you just messed up on something that you should have been listening to, and you're not getting it because you just, okay, it's Wednesday night. I'm going to come in here and listen to Pastor Scott ramble for a little bit, and then I'm going to go to the house. That's your problem. You're in bondage. I know I'm talking to everybody that's listening. I ain't talking to nobody here. But I'm just trying to encourage you to listen and apply it to your life. And if you are, praise God. And if you are, pray for others that they will. Because listen, there's people in this room right now that are bound up. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm just saying they're bound up and they're afraid to say anything to anybody, because they think that you think that they have crazy. Listen, I think half of you has crazy anyway. Amen. So I'm just telling you that we got to get this right. If the Wednesday night crowd can't deal with all the mess, then how do we expect to win a world? If this group right here can't get all the bondage out and can't really get real naked before the Lord, then how do we expect to win a world that's lost? Y'all don't preach me down now. That's good preaching. Amen. So let's look at a few things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, and the peace of God, not the peace of anybody else, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Some of you have experienced that. You know, some of you experienced it in death. You know, some of you have experienced it in other ways, but I always, when I come to this scripture, I think of a couple people, and I know that I watch God give them peace that passes all understanding. I know that I've watched that, and he will do that for you. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What will it do? The peace of God. How do you get the peace of God? You get the peace of God by serving God and living for God, not living a hypocritical life, not saying one thing and doing something else. You get the peace of God by truly doing what God has called you to do. How can you have peace with God if you're not having peace with God? Amen? So the peace of God that passes all understanding, when we shouldn't have peace, he gives us peace. It will keep your hearts and your minds. Most of you, if you was to be honest, the biggest battle you have is right between your ears. It is. And so I want to show you some things tonight and talk about some things tonight, because the flesh patterns, the things that we've learned in the past, even since we've been Christians, the things that we've held on to, it's going to shape the way you think, and it's going to shape what you do. And if what you're holding on to and what you're thinking is not God's thinking, then you're going to be in a mess. Amen? Now, I'm talking to spiritual mature Christians tonight. Some of you are young, but most of you are pretty much spiritually mature. And you should be able to swallow this pretty easy. But I want you to swallow it and digest it. And I don't want you to do like a cow does. And I want you to regurgitate it and chew it up again and then swallow it again and then regurgitate it one more time. That way, if you get it three times and you swallow it three times, then you'll get it. And then we can move on. Amen? So these flesh patterns took a long time to come about, but it's going to take a long time to sometimes to get rid of. And I want you to look at this. There's a lady in the book that he talks about, and he says that she wrote out this paper and she laminated. And what it said on that paper was, are these thoughts from God or are they from the enemy? What if we filtered that, like Philippians says? What if we filtered all that stuff, everything that we think of? What if we filtered that through the Word of God? Y'all know what a filter is. You know, if you're trying to purify water, if you're out in the woods, you're trying to purify water, you'll take some cheesecloth or some type of cloth, you put it over top of that mason jug, and you'll pour water over in it, and the cloth catches all the dirty stuff. Well, that's what the Word of God is supposed to do in our life. We're supposed to filter everything. Everybody say everything. We're supposed to filter everything through God's Word, not your opinion, my opinion, or your mama's opinion, your daddy's opinion, your grandma, your grandpa, your other preacher from 15, 30 years ago. We're supposed to filter it through the Word of God. And as we filter it through the Word of God, those things that are not pure, those things that are not just, those things that are not honest, those things that are not of a good report, they won't go through there because they'll get stuck in that filter, which is the Word, and we'll cast out every thought and imagination that exalts itself against God. That's good preaching, church. You say that's simple. It is simple. But why in the world ain't the church getting it? Some of you are going to go home tonight and you're going to talk about, so-and-so didn't talk to me. So you offended at church. You offended at work. Somebody's done something to make you mad. You get upset. Listen to these thoughts. I wrote these things down. Some of you are going to have hateful thoughts. Some of you are going to have lustful thoughts. God forbid. Come to church, have lustful thoughts. Absolutely. Hateful thoughts, lustful thoughts, depressive thoughts, suicidal thoughts. Those are never from God. Read my lips. Those are never from God. God would never tell you to kill yourself. God would never tell you your family's better off without you. I've heard that. I've heard it in my office. I was going to kill myself. I felt like the Lord was telling me my family's better off. But the Lord ain't going to tell you that. He's going to tell you to get saved, get delivered, and then your family will be better off. Your family is never better off without you. They need you, and you need them. But all of you need Jesus, or all of us need Jesus. Amen? So all these thoughts are not right. So when we look at Philippians 7, and he says he'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, then how do we do that? I want to tell you how to apply it to your life. Live right. Live right. Do what you're supposed to do. If the Lord shows you something, do it. If you're reading the Word and you figure out you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing, do it. If you see something you're not supposed to do, then stop doing it. Elementary, my dear Watson. Amen. That's how you have the peace of God. See, listen, circumstances shouldn't determine whether you got peace. Your friends shouldn't determine whether you have peace. Your wife, my wife, I love my wife. They always say, happy wife, happy life. But whether she's happy or not, I got to have peace with Jesus. Right? Some of your kids, they're rebelling. They're not serving God. They're running away from the Lord. You got different situations in your family. You know, your mom, your dad, or whatever. Maybe they don't agree with what you're doing. You still have peace because you have Jesus. You might not have peace with them. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if you follow me, you ain't going to have peace in this world. Except for the peace he gives. Amen? So now I want you to go look. We're going to look at some things that mess people up. We're going to look at some things in the church now. I'm not talking about the world. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. I don't know why I can't see today, but it's got to be me because I know they got the lights the same way they always have them. But we're going to be all right, even if I had to get somebody to read it up there. Tracy's already got it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and I want you to look at verse 23. And this is what it said. There's certain things. Now, listen, this is as Christians that we allow and we take upon ourselves. And I'm going to read a story here in a little while, and you'll see it. But there's certain things that we allow and we take upon ourselves, and it causes us to get bitterness, hatred, envy, strife, and all this stuff. And then as a Christian, then you quit receiving. I know I've shared this before. I don't know when it was, but in times past, when I was at Pastor Scruggs' church, he did something that offended me, upset me, and I went for a long time, and I felt like nothing. Everybody else was fine. Worship team, everybody. But I felt nothing because I was upset with him. I was offended with him. And when you're offended with somebody, and you're upset with somebody, you can't receive from them. And that hurts the pastor and it hurts you. It hurts you because you ain't receiving, and it hurts him because he ain't being able to give you nothing. Are y'all good? So look, this is some things. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Y'all listen to me. For rebellion is of the sin of witchcraft. You can't just say, well, I'm strong-willed. If it's rebellion, it's rebellion. Whether you're strong-willed, whether you got a big mouth like me, or whether you're cocky or arrogant, whatever you want to call it, just to be strong-willed, if it's rebellion, if you're not submitting to authority and submitting to the Word of God, then you're wrong, and it's just like witchcraft. You might as well get your crazy eight out and your Ouija board and play it. I would never do that, Pastor. There's no way. I would never play crazy eight Ouija board, have a seance and all that. Any of y'all ever do that when you was a kid? Okay, raise your hand up. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit off of you, because that's what it was. It's demonic. We did it. It's stupid. Trying to call up people. What in the world was I thinking? But you would say, I would never do that as an adult. You forget that. But when you rebel against what God's telling you to do, that's what you're doing. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. It means it's the same thing as witchcraft. When you rebel, they better not tell me to do that. I ain't doing that. They can forget that. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what this person says. I ain't doing that. Well, you keep on rebelling yourself, and you see what happens to you. Now, if the preacher's saying something that don't line up with the Word of God, or somebody else is telling you to do something that don't line up with the Word of God, then you're good. Filter it through the Word. But if you filter it through the Word and it goes through, then you better do it or you're in rebellion. I love preaching to the church. Amen. He says this, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and, oh boy, y'all ready? Stubbornness is as iniquity or sin and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected you from being king. He's telling Saul, because you've done these things, because you were stubborn, because you're stiff-necked, because you practiced witchcraft, because you was in rebellion, didn't do what God told you to do, you're not going to be king anymore. Do you know what that word stubbornness means? It means you are not willing to change your attitude or your position on a thought. What would I say? Put that in your spiritual pipe and smoke it. He says stubbornness. That's what the man did. That's what Samuel come to Saul, and that's what he told him. He said, you were stubborn because you didn't do what God told you to do. And now you won't even change your mind about it. You're acting like you didn't even do it. So if we get to the point to where God is exposing something in our life, bringing it to light, because he wants to deal with it, and then we say, no, I ain't going to deal with it. I ain't got it. You're being stubborn, stiff-necked. And how you think your relationship with God is going to flourish? Look at your neighbor and say, woo-wee! That's good. Yep. James chapter 4. James right behind Hebrew, right after Hebrews 4. Look at James chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 6. He says this, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Pride will kill us. I'm telling you, pride will kill. There's a fine line between being proud of who you are in Christ and being proud and arrogant who you are. Another word for stubbornness is holier now. Matter of fact, haughty spirit, we'll talk about it in a few minutes. All these things were talked about Christians having these things in their spirit, allowing bitterness and strife and envy and all these things to come up. And he says he gives us more grace, but he resists the proud. In other words, he says, I will give you all the grace you need if you will humble yourself. But if you don't bow up your chest and do it your way, then he'll humble you himself. Have you ever had to be humbled by the Lord? That ain't no fun. I don't never want to have to be humbled by the Lord. Again, I want you to go to Proverbs 16:18. Are y'all good? Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goeth before destruction, or pride happens before destruction. Y'all seen it, I've seen it. If you've been going to this church a long time or you've been going to any other church, you'll see it. People come in and they're broken. Their marriage may be broken. Their children's messed up. They lost their job. They've got something going on. Very seldom, it happens, but very seldom do people come to your church and have it all together. Matter of fact, there ain't many of us in here got it all together. We're trying. But for the most part, people will come in and they'll be broken. And the Lord will begin to mend them up, heal them. He'll use some of you, a lot of you, to help them, to minister to them. And then, you know, they might get this job or get that job, or God just worked something out. And then they begin to get prideful in their own self. And I did this. They ain't going to stand up and say, I did this. God didn't do it. But you act like that, and you treat others like that. And then the people that you should be helping because you was there, you snub your nose up at them. Pride goeth before destruction. And look at the next one. And a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit. The Word of God said there's seven things that God despises. The very first one is a haughty spirit. I started to come and read every bit. I looked up just a little while ago about a haughty spirit. I looked up the word haughty, but I looked up haughty spirit. And somebody had wrote this whole thing on a haughty spirit. Oh, my Lord, I started looking at my own self. You got to be careful. You got to examine yourself. And there was some of them things I'm like, oh, my Lord, you know, I need to be careful here. Matter of fact, I'm back there. I'm saying, Lord, if there's any type of haughty spirit in me, you rebuke it in Jesus' name. Because it's like it was talking about things like competition. I don't like to lose at nothing, Derek. No, but I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, that's one of the words it uses, competition. And I'm like, I'm very competitive. If I'm playing marbles, I'm winning your marble. I mean, that's the way I want to be. I don't want to lose at nothing. I know y'all looking at me and don't believe it. It's just the truth. I don't like to lose at nothing. Shut up. Because you just like me. Another thing, it was so many things. He was talking about being arrogant. You know, there's a fine line between being arrogant and cocky and knowing who you are in Christ. And sometimes I'm probably close to that line. And I'm like, Lord, I'm for real. Forgive me. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to have nothing in me that's displeasing with you. Oh, Lord, another one. I know this ain't me. It's some of y'all. It ain't me. Always thinking you're right. Yeah. It's serious. Always thinking you're right. I'm 99.9% always right, but I ain't always right. No, I'm kidding. But I'm serious. You feel what I'm saying? That's the way we've got to examine. I'm a pastor. I love God with all my heart. I give my life to Him. But there's things in my life that I got to keep a check on. Because if I don't, I'm going to be in bondage. And then I'm going to try to get up in here and lead people free out here, and I'm in junk. That's why I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Wipe it out. And Noah's always one-upping somebody. Y'all know what that means, don't you? They've done it. You've done it better. And I tell Glenn all the time, she'll say, Scott, you need to be careful because, you know, it's like they said they did this and you did it. But it's the truth. I did it. I'm not lying about what I did, but I'm not trying to best you. I'm just saying, yeah, I've done that too. Like you called this guy. I didn't mean nothing by it. Just the other day, this guy shows me a picture of this 20-pound striper. I said, yeah, I caught a 44-pound. I wasn't trying to throw up in his face that I caught a 24-more-pounder fish than he did. I was just saying, I added it up back there because I'm thinking of these things. Holy Spirit's bringing them things to my attention. I'm like, well, I guess I did it when I talked about the deer. He showed me a little deer he killed. I said, yeah, look at these IQ. I told him about my trophy wife. Hey, I'm just being honest. I the same way I do y'all, I do me. I mean, I want to hold myself in check. And I read that whole thing and I'm like, son of a gun, I got to be careful, man. Because the Holy Spirit will mess you up. You start having some success, and the Holy Spirit will mess you up. Pride cometh before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall. So in other words, if you keep continuing to walk in the Holy Spirit, you will fall. And I've prayed this many times. I remember about 2 months ago, I remember standing up there saying, God, expose anybody that's doing wrong, but don't expose them to where everybody's going to know it, like exposing them like that. But expose it so they'll repent and get straight, because I want our church to move on. I'm not saying, expose somebody up here and everybody knows what they did wrong and they got to go 6 months and just everybody, poor old whoever. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, Lord, show them, expose it to them, so when they're quiet time, they can say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to quit. I'm done, I'm going to quit. So you ain't got to expose them. But you know what? If you won't listen and you keep being hard-headed and stubborn, then I pray He exposes you ever how He's got to expose you, because we're going forward one way or another. And I hate to say it like this, with you or without you, we're going forward. That's where I'm at. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Go to Matthew. I can't even see it. Matthew chapter 18, 34. Matthew chapter 18, 34. 34 and 35. Let's read this. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Some of the things that I have seen and experienced tear people down is pride, being a hard heart, stubborn, and unforgiveness. Well, they did me this way. I can't forget that they did me this way, and I'm never going to forgive them for doing me this way. Guess what? I am so sorry that you got done that way. And some people, I've heard things that I told Glenna one night. We walked out of the office, and I had heard some stuff that I had never heard the likes before. And I looked at her, and I said, how in the world am I supposed to get this person to love Jesus when their own flesh and blood family did this to them? How am I supposed to convince them that we have an all-loving God that's going to love them when their own family did them this way? And you know what? That person's got to forgive. And I'm thinking to myself, now, y'all, I'm just real. I'm thinking to myself, that would be the hardest thing in the world to forgive. How in the world do you forgive that? I've had some bad things, but I ain't had nothing like that. And I felt so sorry for the person. I'm thinking to myself, how in God's name could they forgive? And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. But to get them to that place to where they're willing to say, okay, they did me this way, and it was wrong, and I was the one that was wronged. It wasn't your fault, it was their fault, but you still got to forgive. And I've seen that destroy marriages. I've seen it destroy churches. And it would destroy you if you don't just give it to the Lord. And I mean, I know in some cases that would be the hardest thing in the world to do. But rebellion and being stiff-necked, hard-hearted, having pride and unforgiveness, you cannot have a relationship with God and have that. I studied this out and I started looking at it. And he's dealing with Christians. And he's talking as if they're Christians. And I'm thinking to myself, if God himself or Jesus himself said, if you don't forgive, my Father will not forgive you, then let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to get in a theological debate. This is something I'm asking because I know people that are like that. I know people that's told me, preacher, I don't care what you tell me, I'll never forgive them. Well, then you'll go to hell. It's what the Word teaches. Well, then I guess I'm going to hell. But they profess to be Christians. So let me ask you, how in the world can someone walking in all these things truly be a Christian? How can they have a relationship? And he deals with it. He says, just like having a wife, a relationship with anybody. You can't do them all these different ways and hold on to all this different stuff and think that your relationship is going to be good. Because God is not going to accept it. That's his word. He can't filter it through the word. It don't matter about your feelings. It don't matter what your other preacher said. Well, God knows what you're going through and what you've been through. And he understands that it's hard for you. Yeah, he understands that it's hard for you, but that's why he said, I give more grace. Oh, Lord. I feel like I've touched a nerve, but I'm not trying to touch a nerve. I'm trying to be honest. We're going to stand before an almighty God, and he's going to filter everything through his word. And whether we agree or not, whether we like it or not, whether it's even fair, what this person went through is not fair. Matter of fact, I was so mad I had to repent for the thoughts of murder because I wanted to kill somebody. I'm not lying to you. And if it would have been my family, somebody would probably got strung up. Y'all, think what you want. But I'm a man, I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect my church. And that's the thoughts I had when I walked out of there. I'd like to kill that guy. He don't deserve to breathe. But then God says, you got to show him love. You got to forgive. Next week, we're going to look at Luke chapter 9 like I've never seen it before. The Lord give me some stuff tonight, and I wanted to get to it, but it's just too much to dive into. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. I'm going to show you some stuff that maybe you've seen it before. I ain't never seen it, but it's good stuff. Amen. Y'all stand with me. If you have a missions offering, you can give that back there at the back. I about forgot. And y'all try to help me remember to read that out of the book next week. Maybe I'll start with that. Y'all good? Y'all good? Okay. Just checking. Father, we love you and we honor your word above anything that we think. Your word's true. Doesn't matter. If we're Christian, your word's true. Your word's a final authority. And there's some hard stuff that you've told us we had to do. But the way I look at it is, for everything that you've done for me, it's the least I can do is to do that. And you said you would give us grace to do all these things, to not have pride, to not have a haughty spirit, to not have unforgiveness, to not be rebellious. You said you'd give us grace to do that if we would walk in peace with you. So, Lord, everybody that's listening, everybody that's in this room tonight, I pray in Jesus' name that whatever bondage that we may have been holding on to, that we'd realize we cannot have the right relationship with you and walk in that stuff. It's just not going to happen. Light and dark don't mix. You said in your word, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sins. But if you're walking in darkness, don't think you're going to have fellowship with the light. It's not going to happen. Now, sure, he loves us. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, but sin will separate us from him. So, God, tonight, I pray that you would expose, bring to light anything that's in our life, just like you did with me tonight with that Holy Spirit thing. Boy, it took me back. I'm like, Lord, please don't let me be that way. Personality or not, I don't want to be that way. I want to please you. And I pray for those that are in here that maybe you've brought some things to light tonight and they're thinking about some things. God, give that more grace. The more grace that they need in that area of their life to walk this thing out. The more grace they need in the area of life to stop doing this. The more grace they need in their life to say, hey, I choose to forgive. I may not feel like forgiving, but I choose to forgive. More grace, not to have pride or haughty spirit or to be rebellious. Lord, I give you praise, and I pray that over everyone in here tonight. And God, that you would use them, their testimony, that you would use them to share their testimony, God, to help others get free. I love you and I praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Love you guys. God bless you. I will see you Saturday. Show up.